right.
Let's pray. Let's go to the Lord and ask Him for help. Lord, we are so grateful and thankful to be able to circle around, come together corporately around your word, and for this to be the centerpiece of worship, opening your scripture, opening your word, and hearing from you, not a man, and Lord, not even thoughts of a man collective, but for you to be seen high and lifted up. And so, Lord, we ask that you would do the work that only you can do, that you would grant repentance, that you would put forth your spirit and move upon us, that you would do this for your honor and for your glory. You would not leave us to ourselves, Lord, and that we would see you high and lifted up. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this week, I really struggled with how to do these verses. I'm going to do verse 7 through 10. But I'll be honest, I wrote a whole nother sermon. So I actually have two sermons and on these passages. And I may preach both of them, one this week and one next week, but our three sermons. But I am convinced Dr. MacArthur, the practicality that he uses in these seven through 10 is, and how he has outlined it, his major points of outline of these verses are really wonderful work. So I think I'm going to use this. I may absolutely stray a little bit and add. I've added a whole bunch of stuff here. So we may take 2 weeks over these verses. But the major points are adapted from my wonderful brother, Dr. MacArthur. So last week, as we were looking at verses 1 through 5 or 1 through 6, we were talking about biblical forgiveness and holding people accountable, and how those things are not exclusive from one another. And we were talking about, in the illustration and the example that we were trying to, that we used a lot, was it was like set the setting of a bone, of a bad break, and the setting of this bone, and how telling the truth and looking at people and being truthful with them in love and sharing this is part of working through and forgiving people. That forgiveness doesn't mean, as we so wonderfully in a lot of ways do in the South, we smile and grin and get through it. We don't talk about it. We sweep it under, well, however you want to put it. But that's not really biblical forgiveness. That's not dealing with the problem. And being able to sit down with people and clearly lay out points, biblical points, not your opinions. Do you remember we talked about Matthew chapter 7? We talked about church discipline. We discussed Matthew 18. We discussed all these matters, but it's loving people enough, or loving really Christ enough, which we're going to look at this point in here too, loving Christ enough that you tell the truth, what Scripture teaches in love, and then you let God deal with the rest, right? And that you forgive people by looking at them. And we were dealing with this and walking through this. And I will say this, unforgiveness if you harbor unforgiveness in your heart, it is a toxic thing. It will break you down. It will make you bitter. It will taint everything around you. And this unforgiveness and this evil spreads from one person to another. And it can affect a marriage, a family, friends. It spreads. I want you to turn with me or write it down. You can write it down and read it later. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, it says this: looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by this many become defiled. So this root of bitterness, it spreads. It goes. It not just spreads. And you guys, listen, we're small in numbers. Let's just be honest. How many times has bitterness or unforgiveness, whatever it is, in your heart, and it spreads throughout your own mind and taints everything? Yes. Yes. But it clouds everything that you see, right? You know this practically. So we see this. If we see this in our lives, you've got to realize and be honest with yourself that it spreads in your marriage. It spreads in your family. It spreads with your friends. Forgiveness is the antidote. Biblical forgiveness. Not now, and I know I'm leaning a lot on last week. That's probably why I need to do another Sunday. I'm not talking about it or sweeping it under the rug I'm talking about dealing rightly with it. Do you understand? Dealing biblically. Let's sit down. We've got to hash this out. We need to talk about it. I know it's going to hurt your feelings. It's going to hurt my feelings. But this is what's right to do. This is the biblical way of dealing with this. And forgiveness, biblical forgiveness, as we talked about last week, is the antidote of this. Forgiveness is healthy. Do you remember me asking you the question? I hope you thought about this week. Do you remember me asking you this one question? Think about the most godly person you've ever ran across in your life. And I guarantee you there's one characteristic that if we all were to sit down here and share, that the one characteristic is forgiveness, biblical forgiveness. I mean, Rodney and I've talked about this, and we've got books. I need to bring them and let y'all read them. Samuel Lamb, who was put in jail in China for 27 years because of his faith. And how even though he was in jail, in prison for his faith, how he was free. How even though he was in a communist prison because of Jesus, that was the law he broke. He was free in his heart. And how many of us are free, but we're imprisoned, right? There's this book that this man wrote called Bold as a Lamb. It's a real easy read, but he talks about this freedom that he had no matter. And I think about this. I think about the health the forgiveness, that the health that comes in forgiveness. Listen, not just spiritual health, emotional health. Just being free from that burden of holding on to it. And I think it helps you physically in your body. Forgiveness unleashes in your life a sense of joy, and more than that. Now, I didn't say happiness, joy, and even more than that, a sense of peace. But it is hard work. And as we looked at last week, it's hard to get these steps here. That may be why it's not the rain or the cold weather. Everybody got their feelings hurt last week, right? So it's hard. It's hard work. It is a job to do, to sit down and deal with things biblically. So let's look at, in starting with verse 7, 8, 9, and 10, let's look at how we are supposed to bear this burden of holding accountable and forgiving and working at, there's this balance. And how do you do this? So Paul, when he wrote this, as I told you weeks and weeks ago, we are now in the very practical theology parts. This is how you live it out. This is what he's been talking about, living by the Spirit, having liberty to live in the Spirit, but not using that liberty as a license to do what you want to do, but do what the Lord is calling us to do, but loving to do it. And so now he gets to this point and he's like, okay, how do you deal with each other and relationships and brothers that sin and sisters that sin and you that sin? And how do we do this as a family? Amen. Because I'm going to tell you guys this. As much, I love Beth more than any person on the face of this earth. And sometimes I look at her like, where did you come from? I know we've been married 31 years, but do you even know me? I know she never says that about me, though. So even in the closest relationships, my point is that we have, there's difficulty. It's hard. It's not easy. Friendships. God, and I'm talking about godly relationships, right? I'm talking about dealing with each other that love the Lord. And so these things are hard. So now we get to verse 7, and Paul just, it's really, in a way, kind of rudimentary. It's so black and white, and I mean, you want to talk about getting slapped in the face? Here we are. So I'm going to read these verses, 7, 8, 9, and 10, and then we're going to just take one point at a time. Here it is. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. All right. So one point at a time. The first one is he states the point. He gives the direct point. He lays it out. He's like, okay, here it is. We've gone through all of this. Chapter 5 and 6, we've gotten, okay, here's what, he started it in verse 1. This is what you do. This is what you are called to do as a believer. And in verse 7, he basically says, all right, this is the summation of all of this. We're going to get this right. It's almost like Paul is saying, we're checking this off the list. You are going to get it. You cannot miss it. If you are in the Lord, here it goes. All right. So he states it in the point in verse 7. Do not be deceived, right? Don't be fooled. Don't try to follow your emotions. Don't try to find a loophole. Don't sit there and say, well, if people really understood what was going on in my life, do you know you deceive yourself more than anybody else? Do you know that? You allow yourself to be deceived. I do it. When you really want to see something, guess what? You'll find a way to see it that way. When you really want to paint a picture a certain way, guess what? You're gonna manipulate those colors or do whatever to get to that. And we do it with ourselves, with our marriages, definitely with our children, our families, our friends. And Paul is saying, listen, I don't want you to be deceived. Don't be deceived about this. Don't fool yourself. And here it goes. God is not mocked. I mean, this is so simple. It's this. Stop fooling yourself because you're not fooling God. That's what that means, literally. You need to look, wake up, smell the coffee, whatever you want to say. It's time to be aware because you're not fooling. You may be fooling everybody else, but you're not fooling God. Okay? All right, let's keep going. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. You know, people may fool us. I think about this all the time. I cannot tell you how many times in counseling sessions somebody will come in, one person, and start telling a story, and you go, man, that's tragic. That's tragic. And we will sit there all the time and go, there's another side of the story. So people may fool us, and we may read people wrong, and we may be fooling ourselves, and we may be blind to stuff, but there is somebody who is not blind, who sees things clearly, who there is nothing hidden before his eye. Listen, your heart matters, all the things in your life, all the struggles, all the thoughts, all of this in your, that God sees it clearly. There is nothing hidden to Him. And so we may be fooled by people, and we may, I pray this is not so, we may even fool other people. But God is not fooled. God is not fooled. And why is it? Well, there's a principle here. There's a law that is being worked out. And the law that's being worked out is a law that it really is a universal law. It's a law, it's this principle. If I go out and I plant a pea, if I put a seed, a pea seed in the ground, I'm going to get a pea or peas. You know, if I plant a fruit tree, if I plant a satsuma tree, if I'm going to get satsumas. That's the principle here. The principle is what you sow, you're going to reap. And this is in the physical world. It's in the spiritual world also. It is the same. It's an elementary law. It's a universal law. What you plant is that you will grow. And this principle, the principle stands the same spiritually and morally. You can't just wish and want, you know, these things to happen. And so you can't just say, well, I'm going to plant this okra, but I really don't like okra. I'm going to plant okra seeds, but I really, really would rather have potatoes and grow potatoes. And so this elementary, so simple law, what you plant is what you grow. And Christians, we plant a lot of stuff. And so this very first law, even though it's shocking and shakes you up, it's so simple. That is what it is. What you plant spiritually is what you're going to grow spiritually. What you plant in your life, you plant wisdom. You want to grow in wisdom. How do you do that? You spend more time in the Lord. In His scripture, you spend more time around other men that are women that know the scriptures. You gain wisdom through these matters. You do this. You don't just stand around. You can't go, well, I want to gain wisdom, so I'm going to fly up to Washington, D.C., and I'm going to just stand around at Washington, D.C. because there's a lot of wisdom up there. Right. That was a joke. So you don't need to worry about being fooled by other people or other people's intentions. You need to worry about your heart. And what is it that you're planting in your life? We spend so much time on what other people are, what we think other people are thinking, are doing, and worrying, and we worry about stuff that we need to really be concerned about our own heart issues. Point number two, we see an explanation of this principle. An explanation. In verse 8, it says this, "For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Well, let's explain this. For a believer now, and this is something we need to get. At first you may be kind of confused, but we're going to get it right now. For a believer has two fields. If we're using the agricultural example, there's two fields that you have. One is your flesh, and one is the spirit. And what are you planting in those? And listen, Hear me, believer. You're planting in both of these fields. Because if you were just planting in all spiritual field, you'd be with Jesus. But you're still here. And you're still walking around in your flesh. And so there's these two fields that every believer has. A field of the flesh and a field of the spirit. And what field are you spending the most time with? And cultivating and tending. Now, let's go a little bit further and explain this. The non-believer, the person who's not in Christ, they only have one field. Do you know that? The non-believer only has one field. It's the flesh field. There's not another field for them. No matter how good the seed is that they're planting in the flesh, it's still flesh. It's still in this field. And so these two fields show us every action in our lives and the results. Think about this in your life. Think about the stuff in your life. I guarantee you right now, the stuff that you're struggling with right now in your life is in what field? I mean, think about this. In some ways, it's so simple, but buddy, this truth is, I mean, it's right? Look at this. You start thinking about, now I'm not saying that's 100% true, because God has already told us, listen, we just went through a series. Well, I shouldn't say just went through. It's been a few months ago, of suffering and the calling of a Christian to suffer in this life and to suffer rightly, to suffer godly. Being godly in your suffering, to bear your burdens rightly. So it's not all this way, but I bet you, I would be willing to guarantee you, if you are thinking about the struggles in your life right now that you're facing, the majority of them are in the fleshly field, right? Or come out of that. So if you plant to please yourself, your desires, your own desires, you're going to reap to that. He uses a word here, Paul does, corruption. And it refers to a decaying, a wearing down. And so when you see these things that are being reaped, listen, so very often it didn't just happen. It's been a long time working in that field. And then we reap that corruption. And then we reap this. And so when you are in the field of the flesh, your own desires, pursuing your own things, pursuing your own happiness. Because I'm going to tell you, you've heard this 1,000 times. If you are pursuing what makes you happy, that changes, if not on a daily basis, on a yearly basis. And I promise you, the older you get, it changes. Because you start living enough life that you look back and go, wow, I've been such a fool. And so this sowing and reaping in this field, let me help you with this. So I was going through an exercise with Beth, sitting down with her, and saying, what are the things that we're sowing in our marriage and what we're reaping? Okay? And we were discussing things and we were talking about this because I knew I had this message coming up. And I wanted to be able to stand before you guys as rightly as I can, as a sinful man can. And so we were working through this and we were talking about things and sowing and reaping. And there is another principle that I know, listen, Paul talks about this all the time, but that you need to know as a believer, okay, we don't reap fully what we have sown. That's right. Thank goodness. You are going to reap it, but not what you should. And so the principle is this: what you are reaping that you are struggling with, you, like we talked about in our sermon series, you need to embrace it as grace. And you need to acknowledge, Lord, though I'm reaping this in my life, what I've sown, I understand you're being gracious to me. And it's just like that same relationship as a child running to his father, and the father's got a broken heart over the sin of the child. Listen, I promise you, kids that are here, your mom and dad don't whip you like they should whip you. Or you don't get punished like you should. And neither do we. Because of the relationship, because there's grace. And yes, God is a faithful God. He will bring correction in our lives. He will not leave us to ourselves. He's going to help us in all of our sorrow. But you don't reap fully what you sowed. Do you get that? And so this principle of reaping and sowing is true and right. And it's, I mean, and Paul's saying, listen, you're not getting away with anything. You can have all the excuses in the world. You can deceive yourself all you want, but you're not deceiving God. Matter of fact, you could deceive everybody else, but no one here is deceiving the Almighty. And you're not reaping what you fully sown. Amen? Pray, that's good news. It's good news. I know it doesn't feel good, but it's good news. So let's look at this principle fulfilled in verse 9. Verse 9. And let us, okay, so let me stop. So even in our reaping, spiritually and physically, in these two fields, even in our reaping, there's grace. Right? Grace. Grace, grace, grace. So in this, let's look at verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Don't lose heart, because in God's perfect timing, in His perfect timing, this principle is going to work out in your life. So as I was thinking through this and writing all these things down and man, I thought of so many examples. But the easiest, most basic example that I could come up with is some of you guys have been praying for children a long time. A long time. And this is saying, don't stop. Don't stop sowing in that field. And it's not just praying, it's actions, it's doing good. It's getting after it. It's putting your hand to the plow, as Scripture says, and not looking back, right? It's you working this field, you getting after it, you doing what's right, you speaking the truth, you praying, you loving, you forgiving, you working through whatever it is, whatever, you doing what's right. And let God do what He needs to do, right? But what happens to us? What happens to us? Right. We get weary. We want to help. We want to step in and do something. We want to, I mean, there's all kind of things. And he's saying, Paul's saying here in verse 9, don't grow weary. That's hard. How is that? How do you, listen, this is really so simple. This is a simple question, and we're it's just us, small Bible study today. Here it goes. How do you not grow weary? I want to hear it. I want to hear this answer. You trust. Who do you trust? Yourself? No, right. You trust Him. He says it right here. This is His words, not mine. Don't grow weary. Do good. Do this work. Stop it. Stop thinking about yourself. Stop thinking about your feelings. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't want to say that. I do want to say it, but I don't need, because it. We spend way too much time up here thinking about ourselves. That would make, if I spent a lot of time, I would be depressed all the time. When you're serving and working and doing good, you're a libation. You're pouring yourself out. I mean, I'm looking around and I'm just seeing just list heartaches and brokenness and things that you guys are concerned about that we're talking and sharing and praying with each other. And I'm thinking to myself, how much time do we spend on our knees? Seriously. Begging God, who's the only one that can do it, right? It's not you. Begging God. Asking Him to do it. And Paul says, he's like, listen, you'll reap. You shall reap. It doesn't say you may reap. That's not what that says. It is a present tense imperative. He's saying, you shall reap this. And then verse 10. Verse 9 is the fulfillment. And then verse 10 is the application. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let's do good to all. And just so you guys get it, That means everybody. I mean, it literally means that. That's the context here. If you can do good, if you do good to everybody. But he says, he puts an emphasis. He says, but especially to the household of faith. If they're brothers and sisters, they go to the top of the line. Right? That we should do good for those who irritate us the most. I mean, I'm being serious. Do you know how many times I'm dead serious when I say this. You would be shocked how many times that I've asked somebody to do something. Huh? Okay. And they've said, well, I don't really relate to those people. Okay. Here goes. I don't relate to anybody. Not even my wife. I'm like, I'm an alien. Well, I don't really like those people. Okay, number two, I don't like anybody. I do like my wife. And sometimes my children. But it drops steady after that. Now, my wife doesn't like me as much as I like her. I bug her. But my point is this, is that it doesn't say, it does not say here, when you have opportunity, do good to those that you get along with or that you're like or that is like you or that you have fun with or that. It doesn't say that, does it? Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. As we have opportunity. Well, does that mean, well, Lord, if it fits in my schedule, I don't think exactly that's what Paul meant, right? I'm being serious. Is this right? Well, it doesn't really fit here. So, and therefore, meaning, okay, let's hear, what's the therefore? Here, let this, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. I know that you think this is so simple that you think, okay, I think I got it. But I'm telling you, there's so much stuff in these verses you could not even begin to imagine. But I'm going to stop right here, and this is what I'm going to say to you before we close. As a believer, as believers, what kind of seeds are you sowing? Really, what kind of seeds are you sowing? Now remember, do not be deceived. What kind of seeds are you sowing? What kind of seeds? Here's point number two. Have you been sowing? Number three, are you weary? Are you broken? Do you need help? It's really quite simple. Asking, Lord, I need help. I absolutely cannot do this. I was talking to somebody just this week that was just literally at the end of his rope. He was like, I literally don't know what else to do. And I it struck me, and I was thinking about this. I was like, man, in a way, that's kind of a good place to be. Amen? No, think about this, that God gets us to a place where we are so have, where we have nothing but Him, right? But how many of us go, yes, I want that? Does anybody in this room volunteer for that right now? No. But really, that's the place He wants us to be at, right? Where it, Lord, I really don't know what else to do. So question number one is this: what kind of seeds are you sowing? What kind of seeds are you sowing? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your Spirit. Grant repentance. Do the work that only You can do. Lord, You know every heart here, all things. Lord, there's nothing that surprises You. You see all things. You know all things. Nothing is hidden. You will not be mocked. What a man sows, he will reap. Lord, thank You for Your grace. Help us to walk with You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you'll stand, we'll sing the doxology together. Then we'll be dismissed.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.